Amen. So we're grateful to God for yet another opportunity that we have to come and worship Him in spirit and in truth. The psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." You know, there are benefits of being a member of the body of Christ. You know, worship is a command, but I'm here to tell you this morning, worship is also a benefit. It's a benefit to come here this morning and be able to sing songs of praise to God. It's a benefit to be here with our fellow brothers and sisters. It's a benefit when we have gone through a tough week and be able to come here and be refueled with the Word of God and with the singing of songs and with remembering the great sacrifice that God made on our behalf. So it's a great benefit to be here this morning. I was greatly benefited from Brother Alexander's sermon this morning. No, he didn't. Kevin and I, we're long-term friends, so I could do that. But just a beautiful song service, and we just appreciate your encouraging words as well. And we're so thankful to everyone that is here this morning. We're grateful for the wonderful audience that is here this morning. We're thankful as well to see those that are visiting with us, and we're very grateful for you being here and being a part of our worship this morning. We want to continue to always remember Brother and Sister Gibbs as they are away from us this day, and we just always are mindful of them and just always want to lift them up in prayers. We're just so appreciative of the wonderful work and ministry that Brother Gibbs has given so sacrificially to this church. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. And I want to again read for our emphasis the verses that were read and also take into account a few more verses. Joshua chapter 3 and verses 10, and I want to go all the way to verse number 17. The Bible said, "And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites." A lot of ites in there, isn't it? "Behold the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over you," or "before you," over before you, "into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that came down or come down from above, and they shall stand as a heap. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks in the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up as a heap." Isn't it something? God can cause water to rise up and stand up as a heap. Very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zoratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off, and all the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. I want to use as a topic for the lesson this morning, a forward faith. A forward faith. The book of Joshua details the conquest of the land of Canaan. Under the leadership of Joshua, Joshua was one who helped to lead the children of Israel into Canaan. In fact, the word Joshua actually means Jehovah saves. That's an appropriate name that God gave Joshua, because it was only the hand of God that could save the children of Israel as they marched into the land of Canaan. Joshua was one who would lead the people, and they faced the challenges which would come from those that were already in the land. If you go back and read the book of Joshua and read other accounts, you'll find that when they sent 12 spies into the land, that 10 of them came back and said, "We can't take this land because there are giants in this land. And there's so many great mighty armies, they would make us look like grasshoppers." But nevertheless, Joshua said, "We're going to take the land." And you know, it's something about the way that God deals with mankind. God don't need a whole lot of help. All he needs us to do is to simply obey his word. And so here we have the children of Israel, and they are there at the brink of the Jordan River. They're going to have to cross the Jordan River to go into Canaan. As we look at the text, when we find in chapter 3 and verse number 10, the Bible said, "And Joshua said, hereby shall you know that the living God is among you." There are times that God took pains to show people that he was right in the midst of them. Joshua said, "Hereby shall you know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and all those other ites." Look at what he says in verse number 11. He said, "Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all earth passeth over before you into Jordan." Now, for the benefit of those that may not know what the ark was, in the Old Testament, there was the ark, and this ark was called the Ark of the Covenant. It was also called the Ark of the Lord. Some refer to it as the Ark of Testimony. And this ark is mentioned some 16 times in Joshua chapter 3 and Joshua chapter 4. This ark was a box that was about 4 feet long. It's about 2.5 feet wide and about 2.5 feet tall. It was a box that was overlaid with gold. It was a box that had some very important contents in it. In this box or this ark, it had the Ten Commandments on the tables of stone. It had a pot of manna. God had used manna to feed the children of Israel as he brought them out of Egyptian bondage. They had a pot of manna that was to be kept, which was to be used to show the generations that would come after them how that God made provisions for them as they were in the wilderness. And then it also had Aaron's rod that budded. Imagine a stick from a tree that was unattached to a tree, but yet that branch budded. See, God can do something with nothing. But the ark was a symbol of God's presence and guidance of his people. The ark was a place that symbolized the very presence of God. It symbolized God being in the midst of them. It symbolized, and it was a show of the fact that as you began to make this journey, you're not making it by yourself. I'm here with you. And as we look at the ark, look at what it said in verse number 11. Again, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all earth passeth over you, over before you into the Jordan. But now look back to the first part of the chapter. Is it okay if we look back at some scripture? Bible says in chapter 3 and verse number 1, the Bible said that Joshua rose up early in the morning. You know, it's interesting. As you go through the book of Joshua, there are about four times where the Bible talks about the fact that Joshua rose up early in the morning. The other times that he got up early in the morning, he got up to pray and to commune with God. And maybe that says something to all of us. Maybe we ought to get up early in the morning. And maybe the first thing that we do, not get involved with TV or Good Morning America. But we ought to get up early in the morning and spend some time with God. But early in the morning, before he got up in that morning, the Bible says that he, as he rose up early in the morning from Shittim and came unto Jordan, he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. This was some several hundred thousand people that were about to pass over the Jordan River. But then look what he says in verse number 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. In other words, now listen, you don't go when you're ready to go. You don't just stand up and say, well, I think I'm ready to cross the Jordan. I'm ready to go now. Come on, family, let's go. No, 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 no. You have to wait until you see the ark go forward before you take a step to go forward. And you know what that tells me? I think there's an application there. In our lives, in our everyday life, before we move, God needs to be present. God needs to be present. God needs to be a consideration in everything that we do. Before we move, God needs to be present. You know, some folk in life, they want to go on and go about their business and do what they want to do and feel like, well, I think I got this handle, but then only go back to God when they need some help. But my life should be manifested by making God a permanent fixture in everything that I do. They couldn't afford to go forward trying to cross this Jordan by themselves. And that says to all of us, in everything about our own lives, before we move, God ought to be present. You know, that's another thing that I think about, another application when I think about what took place here. As they moved, and there's another thing about the ark. That ark, in the four corners of that ark, there were gold rings. And in those gold rings, they had long poles. And those poles could be hoisted by the individuals that carried the ark. And as they carried the ark, Again, they were carrying the commandments of God. They were carrying the remembrance of the manna. And again, they were carrying that rod that budded. But have you thought about the fact that they were actually carrying the word of God? They weren't just carrying a box, an empty box. They were carrying God himself, the presence of God, and they were also carrying the word of God. And as I think about that, in our own lives, that ought to be the case for each and every one of us as we live on a daily basis. I ought to be carrying the word of God with me. You know, Jeremiah would later come on the scene and have something to say about this. I want those that are at the back, bring up Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse number 31 through verse number 33. Jeremiah comments on the whole idea of carrying, or talking about the law and talking about the way that God would deal with mankind. But look at what Jeremiah did. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse number 31, he said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." You know, let me just stop, and this is not a part of my lesson, but I mentioned it here this morning. This ought to let folks know that I don't need to go back and try to hold on to that old covenant. You know, a lot of folks that are struggling with this whole idea of this new age Judaism and or even black Hebrews, but you don't want to go back to this law because God said, "I made another law. I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel or with the house of Judah." Go to the next screen. "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt." God made that covenant with them. He didn't make it with anybody today. "Which my covenant, they break." They broke it anyway. "I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord." Next page. "But this," he said, "this shall be the covenant that I make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord," he said, "I'll put my law." Where did he say I'm going to put it? "I'm going to put my law in their inward parts," in their inward parts, "and write it in their hearts, and I will be, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Well, in the Old Testament, of course, the Bible said things which were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. In the Old Testament, they were carrying around the law. But now, God wants the law to be carried in our hearts. Paul would state this in no uncertain terms. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16, he said, "Let the word of God dwell within you richly, teaching one another," teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They carried the law of God in the ark during that time. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the law of God ought to be in your heart. It ought to be in your heart to such an extent that anytime I think that I want to go and do something that goes against the will of God, there ought to be something in my mind that counters it from Scripture. I want to talk about somebody. There ought to be some scriptures that come in my mind about gossip. Men, you see somebody that's not yours, and your eyes begin to wander. There ought to be something that comes up in your mind that says that if I look upon her, to lust upon her, I've committed adultery already in my heart. See, if I deal with the heart matters, I won't have to deal with the repercussions of my actions. That's why God wanted his word written and imprinted on the heart. When a man's heart is in the right way, then a man's actions is going to be in the right way as well. They were burning around in the ark, but now God wants his word in our hearts. And if I'm going to have a forward faith, I'm going to have to be able to move by God's word. In a forward faith, as I stated just a moment ago, God has got to be out front. Look at what it said again in verse, going back to Joshua chapter 3. So again, he said, the command of the people in verse number 3, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of your Lord, your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place. And then it says, and go after it. God gave the instruction that you follow the ark. But then look what he says in the next verse. He said, yet there shall be a space between you and it by 2,000 cubits by measure. Said, come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go. God said, now listen, I want you to follow this ark, but don't get too close. In other words, you don't come up on me. I find it interesting. When you look, going back to the time that Moses went up to receive the law from God, and God told Moses, he said, tell the children, don't touch this mountain. Why did he give that command? Because God is a holy God. And the place in which he operates is holy. It's a holy place. And you can't just marginalize the presence of God. You know, we live in a time in which people marginalize God. They make God the punchline on a joke. They pretend and play and make fun of the name of God. But I'm here to tell you, I've got to hold the name of God in the highest reverence. You know, I read somewhere that back, I may have shared this illustration before, but back during the time that many of the scribes were translating the word of God, that they felt so highly and felt so, thought so greatly of the name of God, that as they were translating and they saw that they were about to come to the name of God, they would put their pen down and go and take their clothes off and wash themselves and wash their clothes and then come back and write the name of God, because they recognize that the name of God is holy. And that's what God is saying here. When you follow, don't follow too close. There's got to be a feeling and an understanding about the fact that I am a holy God. There's another thing about this idea of following. A forward faith has got to be a faith that believes in the power and the providence and the presence of God. Now, I want to go back down to, we're still in chapter 3, in verse number 13. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand up on a heap. Every time I read that, it just brings up a vision in my mind. The fact that God took water, and you know, you can heap up hay, you can heap up dirt, you can heap up any other material, but to find, to look and see the image of God heaping up water. But God is able to do whatever he wants to do. The Bible said, and it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they bear the ark, and they will come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. Now I think it's very important for us to understand that this was not just some stagnant pool of water that they were about to dig into. It was the River Jordan. And I read as I looked at the history of the Jordan that it was actually formed over a deep valley, a very deep ravine. And during the time that this was written, the time of harvest, that deep ravine was actually overflooded. And not only was it overflooded, the Jordan had water that fed it from below. And not only was it fed from below, the water was descending upwards and downward. Look what the text says. The Bible said in verse number 16 that the waters which came down from above and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam. The waters rose or came down from above. As a matter of fact, the very word Jordan means the descender. It was descending deep running water. And now you've got the men of God, the priest, that were holding the ark, getting ready to step into the water. It had to be something that they did in faith. And God, he didn't tell them to try to calculate how fast the current was. He didn't tell them to try to figure out, I wonder how deep it is. You know, we're in harvest right now. He just told them to put your foot in the water. And as soon as they put their feet in the water, God stopped up the water. They were able to march into the Jordan on dry ground. And you know, that says something to all of us. You see, God is in control of everything. God was in control of the water. God was in control of the water when it would roll in and then when it would be stopped and when it would return. And God was in control of the priest when he told them where to enter the water and when to go to the other side. God was in control of this whole situation. And when you think about it, God is in control of our situations as well. If God could control the water and stop it, heap it up, then God can deal with the challenges and the issues which come up in our lives. And you see, I don't need to try to calculate, just like they didn't need to calculate how fast it was flowing or how deep it was. I just need to step out on faith. I just need to step out on faith. Things which were written for a time, written for a learning, that we through patience and confidence. If they stepped out on faith, God acted, God did what he did, I could step out on faith today. And God can accomplish what he needs to accomplish in my life. I just need to step out. Well, look at what took place. When we go down to verse number 17, and again, the Bible said unto the priest that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm. Oh, that must have been a mighty, mighty scene. They stood firm on what? Dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. That must have been a sight. Just a few moments before, fast moving water, but now I'm standing, and I'm not even standing firm on muddy ground. I'm standing firm on dry ground. God fixed that thing. And then the Bible said, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over the Jordan. You know, when I think about God, God is such a good God. Because he takes us through Jordans every day. You know, our kids, when they hear Jordans, they think about some tennis shoes. You need to realize there's another Jordan. It's this Jordan that's called life. And you're going to have to go over some Jordans. But you can't go over them by yourself. You're going to have to go over them with God. But then, in chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible said, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people and out of every tribe, and command them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge tonight. What was he doing? God was trying to establish a memorial for what he had done for the children of Israel. You know, it's very important for us to have memorials. Ironically, this is Memorial Day weekend. But now look at what God has done when it comes to memorials. When I think about memorials in Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 14, God established the memorial of the Passover. Don't you remember during the time that God freed the children of Israel out of Egypt? Well, one of the last things that he did, he told the children of Israel, he said, now listen, I want you to put blood over your doorposts because I'm going to send my representative into the land of Egypt tonight. And every place that does not have blood over the doorpost, the firstborn is going to die. But when he saw blood over the doorpost, he passed over that particular house. And so he established the festival of the feast of the Passover in order to help them to remember when he passed over those homes that had blood. When I think about memorials, there's another one in Numbers chapter 15 and verse number 39, where God gave the instruction. God then speaking to Moses, say, have the children to make your clothes, and in making your clothes, I want you to put a fringe on the bottom of your clothing, and on that fringe, I want you to put a strip of blue. And that strip of blue, you can find it in Numbers chapter 15, that strip of blue was to help them to realize and help them to remember that they were to keep all the commandments and all the things that God had told them to do. Why? Because it's very easy to forget, but I want you to remember. Well, there's another one. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 38 and 39, God told the children of Israel, now listen, when it comes to remembering, I want you to take some manna and I want you to put it in a jar and I want you to keep it and I want you to use that manna and show it to generations to come that come after you so that they can see and understand how that I supplied manna and supplied your needs while you were in the wilderness. Then even today, we have a memorial. The memorial that we have this table right before us, the Lord's Supper. In an effort to help us to not forget his death, we participate in the Lord's Supper, which was instituted by Christ. This Lord's Supper is a commemoration. It's a memorial. Do this in remembrance of me. Not only is it a commemoration, it's also a proclamation. When I partake of the bread and I partake of the cup, it's a silent proclamation of the fact that I believe in the fact that Christ died for me and believe in those things that he has done and made possible for the entire world. I'm proclaiming his death. It's also a time of self-examination. One of the brethren might read or may have read from in previous accounts from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 28 and through verse number 32. It says, let a man so examine himself. And then it goes on to say, discerning the Lord's body. That word discern means to gratefully remember the Lord's body. See, God has established memorials for great reason. And one of the reasons that he established memorials, because it's so easy for us to forget. I remember, don't you remember the children of Israel? God struck Pharaoh with a mighty hand, struck him with all those plagues, plagues of blood and plagues of flies and plagues of frogs and plagues of the firstborn dying and plagues of boils and all sorts of things that he struck Egypt and Pharaoh with a mighty hand. And then he brought them out of Egypt. Then he brought them to the face of the Red Sea, opened up the sea, let them go through, closed the sea on Pharaoh and all his men. Then just a short time later, Moses goes up to the mountain to receive the law. Amen. He stayed longer than they thought he should have stayed. Then all of a sudden, they said, we're going to take our gold off of our ears and our bracelets off our arms, and we're going to take them and mold them into a molded calf, because this man Moses, we don't know what become of him, but this is going to be who brought us out of Egypt. How could they do that? Because it's easy for us to forget. You know, somebody, I didn't go into this in the first service, but you know, sometimes we might look at the children of Israel and say, well, I just don't see how they forgot. But let me ask the question. This is a modern day equivalent. When we go through the communion, what are you doing? Are you really remembering? Are you really considering? Is your mind on something or somebody else? Are you thinking and contemplating what you're going to do next week and this act of worship that has been designed to help us to remember, has it been reduced to simply just another thing that we do in the midst of the worship service? What am I doing? Amen. When it comes to remembrance of God, ought to be willing to remember. And memorials have a place. And that was the case in this particular account. They were commanded that you go and get some stones. And these stones were stones that were going to be used to help them to remember what God did to them during this time. Look at what he says again in Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 4. It says, and Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of Israel. And then he said, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you can answer them and say, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. You know, sometimes I believe in our lives we need to have some stones. You ought to have some stones, if you will, in your own mind. There ought to be a stone that says that at some point I received the word of God, I was baptized into Christ, and I now have an inheritance in him. That ought to be a permanent stone in my life. There ought to be a daily stone that I have. One more time, I got up this morning. I didn't get up because I was so strong. I didn't get up because I set my alarm clock. I didn't get up because I was so good. I got up because God got me up. It ought to be a stone. It ought to be a stone that says, I serve a living God who will never leave me or forsake me. It ought to be a stone that says, morning, noon, and night, I can call on him, that he's allowed me to cross many Jordans. What do you mean, Brother Worthy? He's allowed me to cross many Jordans. Some of us Some in here have crossed the Jordan of sickness. Some have crossed the Jordan of family challenges. Some have crossed the Jordan of relationship problems. Some have crossed the Jordan of death of loved ones. Some have crossed the Jordan of just going through life. But you got to keep crossing. And it means you keep on stepping in spite of what might happen. Yes. Yes, sometimes you look around and you find yourself saying, well, I'm your child, Father. I'm trying to do all the things that you would ask me to do, but why is it not all working? Amen. You don't have to always cross all the T's and dot all the I's. You just keep crossing over Jordan. You know, and I think about this. Sometimes when it talks about gathering up stones, sometimes we have to, in order to find the right stone, we just have to go back and look. Psalm chapter 37, I remember David said, Amen. He went back and picked up a stone. He said, I was once young. He said, now I'm old. And he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed. Beg bread. Wait a minute, David. You mean to tell me that you've never seen the child of God go through some stuff? No, I've seen that. You mean you've never seen the child of God deal with a loss and deal with something that they weren't expecting or certainly they didn't deserve? No, I'm not saying that. You mean to tell me that you've never seen the child of God go through a challenge and problems and difficulties which were not brought on by their own action? He'd seen all that. He'd experienced it himself. Yes, he did. But still he would say, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg bread. Yeah, you might go through some challenges. Yes, you might go through some problems. Yes, you might go through some setbacks. Yes, you might go through some time where you want to look up at God. Are you still there? Amen. But you just know that he is still there. And you just have to continue to have a faith that goes forward. Someone has said that the faith is not just that which exists when there's no evidence, but faith exists when it exists in spite of the consequence. Did y'all get that? You don't have to have evidence. Some people are looking for evidence. I need to know God is here. I need to know God is in my life. Well, if you want to know, just serve him. I think about Job. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. That's the faith that goes forward. And I know that in the midst of a crowd like this, there's someone that's struggling with some things. There are some members of the body of Christ that are going through some things. And you say, well, God, why? I try to be faithful. I try to live right. I try to do as you've commanded. Why am I going through this? Don't get bogged down with the question. Just continue to be faithful. And you continue to cross Jordan after Jordan after Jordan, because one of these days, you won't have any more to cross. Amen. Just like they were able to claim their inheritance, which was Canaan. One of these days, you and I are going to be able to claim our inheritance, which is in heaven. And one of these days, as we get to heaven, and I just believe that we'll be able to look back, and I'll be able to look back at some of the trials and look back at some of the difficulties and look back at some of those things that I've gone through, but I have not seen nor. I just don't know. I can't even imagine what God has prepared for me. So I just got to continue to be faithful. Is that all right, church? Amen. I hope you've gotten something from the lesson this morning. Amen. There might be someone here that is not a member of the Lord's church. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Once you've heard the word, you got to believe it. You know, there are some religious organizations that say, once you believe, that's all that's necessary. But your belief should prompt you.
Amen.
Should repent of your sins. That means you want to make a change in your life. Then you confess the sweetest name that mortal tongue can confess, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then go down in the watery grave of baptism, arise to walk in the newness of life. As you come up a new creature in Christ Jesus, you just continue to walk faithfully. Amen. I never tell you that becoming a Christian means that life is going to be easier.
Amen.
And I believe any man that would stand up and say that, he's a false prophet.
Amen.
But there are some things you will go through, but the difference is in Christ, you're going to have some help. Just like they had that ark, God to divide those waters,
Amen.
Hold them back,
Amen.
You have a God who is able to allow you to march through on dry ground. And there might be someone here that is a member of the Lord's body. Maybe you've not been living your life in accordance to the will of God. Maybe you haven't allowed God to be in front. Maybe you put him on the side. And you're walking by yourself, and
Amen.
As long as everything's going okay, oh, Father, I'll get with you later. I don't need you right now. But then as soon as trouble comes, oh, Father, don't have that kind of relationship with God. They couldn't take that ark and put it over to the side and travel a distance and then decide, you know, we need to go get this ark. There was a story about that. We need to go get that ark right now so that we can have the protection and the guidance of God. Because if you don't treat it right, God won't be there in the presence. God needs to be present and up front in our lives each and every day of our lives. Don't deny yourself of the privilege of a proper relationship with God. If you're here this morning and you need to come, we beckon you to come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.